من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين.
The sins of the heart are four: shirk, israr, and to despair or feeling safe so we don't care, so we avoid those and do the opposite. Tawhid, Islam, Iman, Ihsan, and of course knowledge comes before statement and action. Welcome to Outlining Fiqh. I am your host, Tyler Boyd, and we have with us here today Sheikh Abu Toba and several students of fiqh from around the world. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sheikh? Still there? He was here a moment ago, but we lost his voice. Sheikh? Can anyone else hear him besides me?
No, I can't hear him either. I heard him for a second. It was like really quiet, like when you first started.
Yeah, it was muffled. It was muffled, but I heard something. It's like we just lost him. So how are you guys doing? Ahmed, Baraka? Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing fine. Alhamdulillah.
Wa alaikum salam. I'm doing good. Jazakallah khair for asking. How are you doing, Tyler and Baraka?
Okay, can you hear me, guys?
Yes, yes.
Naam, Sheikh.
Okay, well, continue.
Yes, Sheikh.
Naam, this is now, we are entering the Hijri year. This is the first class of the new year, 1448. So I hope everyone's having a great new year, and things are going well here in Charlotte, North Carolina. So, Sheikh, how are you? You still there?
Yeah, we're still here.
Okay. So, are you ready to proceed?
Okay, maybe it's going in and out or something like that, but what do you call it? I can hear you for the most part.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. You said it's the first class of the year. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And things are doing well there in Charlotte. Alhamdulillah, things are good here in Mecca, alhamdulillah. Let's get started. Where we at on our lesson for today?
Well, Sheikh, I actually wanted to ask you about something before we start, because it is the new year. We are about to start the chapter on Hajj, which is a major chapter. And I was going through some of our previous episodes, and a few weeks ago you were talking about something very interesting. You were talking about the importance of finding your happiness, and how that is not necessarily included in the study of fiqh. Fiqh is meant to be something that's common knowledge, and it's something that you just learn and then you just know and you apply, but you still have to find your personal fulfillment. And I thought maybe it seemed like that discussion was kind of cut short in the episode. Like, I was expecting more. So I was wondering if you had any more thoughts to share on that topic before we begin the discussion
of course,
on Hajj.
It's a perfect time. It is a perfect time to understand that particular subject in fiqh, because it's the beginning of the year, okay? And it is part of fiqh. I didn't intend it to mean that it doesn't. It's not a part of fiqh, but it's not part of the Sharia. As far as the ahkam and the laws, if that makes sense. So the ahkam and the laws are regulations, how we regulate our lives. These are the perimeters, the boundaries that we have to hold to, and the standards that we have to keep ourselves to. That's what basic fiqh gives us. But what we're talking about inside of that is our personal expression of life. That takes fiqh too. Each person is different. I call it the human factor. Okay? You can have same parents, what looks like similar circumstances for your children, but totally different personalities within that same family, okay? And totally different inclinations towards happiness. Part of our job in learning fiqh is understanding what makes us happy or what makes us tick, and finding that niche and focusing on that so that we can enjoy this dunya, as opposed to what Shaitan wants us to do. He wants to distract us and split our focus and keep our minds divided so we can never enjoy happiness. For example, when we're told to lower our gaze, why? Because women are beautiful. Now that may sound funny, but just think about what I just said about enjoying life. You meet a woman, you marry her, you think she's the most beautiful thing in the world. But if you don't lower your gaze and you walk out the house, guess what? You'll see another woman who you think is the most beautiful woman in the world, totally different from your wife. The combinations are amazing. There is no one beautiful woman in the world. They're all beautiful. They all have a different ways of presenting that beauty. If you don't lower your gaze, you'll never be satisfied with the one that you have. Does that make sense?
Yes, I kind of understand you. Yes, you're saying that there's benefit in having focus, or at least knowing what it is that you need to focus on first, and then you have to focus on that.
I'm using that as an example of why we can't get happiness. Okay? Because just like we said, the beautiful woman that you marry, or a handsome man, or a capable person, if you... what Shaitan tries to do is to keep us distracted so that we're never satisfied with what we have. And so since we're not satisfied with it, we don't work on it. And if we would work on it, it would become more beautified. And we would find more joy in that particular relationship. This is all things being perfect. I'm not saying that marriage is always going to be perfect if you try, but just throwing the idea, the concept out there. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And when using that as an example for a skill, for example, Allah blessed you with a certain skill or certain skill sets that you are perfectly inclined towards. If you don't work on those skill sets, if you don't master those skill sets, those opportunities never come for you to make enough money to enjoy your life, or to do a skill that you feel comfortable doing that you would pay to do if you weren't getting paid to do it. Because we constantly get distracted. And so I'm saying is that, yes, Shaitan breaks our focus on every level. And what we as humans have to do is, through the fiqh of life, is determine what direction we feel comfortable going, and go that way no matter what someone else has to say about it. Let's say, for example, I like chocolate. And someone says, well, I don't think chocolate is good for you, but it's natural. I can have chocolate. It's mubah. It's not haram. I'm not ODing on it and killing myself with it. But I like chocolate. And I mean, I'm happy because I like chocolate. I shouldn't leave it just because someone else doesn't like it. Does that make sense? As long as what your goal is halal, if that's what you like doing, then do that. And I think too many times we're not expressing ourselves in our human capabilities and our human inclinations, and we're blaming it on Islam, and we're unhappy or unfulfilled because we're not following our dreams. And Allah tells us in the Quran, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, and don't forget your portion of the dunya. And Allah says, وَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and when you make a decision, when you decide it, go for it. And we've seen the times in Islamic history where a man might say, you know what, I'm going to get on a boat. I'm going to make a boat. There was a Chinese Muslim ruler who said, I'm going to make a fleet of boats and I'm going to go all around the world in the water. Everybody thought he was crazy, and he did it. He did it. There's other people who have done many other things as well. Or we say, what's the guy? Mansa Musa said, I'm going to go to Hajj and I'm going to give gold to everybody. And he did it. Do you is basically what I'm trying to say. As long as doing you fits within the perimeters of what Islam allows you to do, let that be your only barrier. Okay? Outside of that, do you. And I think finding you takes fiqh, takes inner speech, takes quiet time, takes talking to yourself. That's what I mean by inner speech. And experiencing life so you can figure out, you know, what I like and what I don't like. But I also think that most people know what they like by the time they are 10 years old. They say that children that are 5 years old have as much determination as a 35-year-old. So I think we're losing that. Does that make sense?
Yes, it's becoming clear, Sheikh. I have a question about this. Would you say that finding yourself or finding your dream or your happiness, would you say that's something that you can proactively find through searching? Or is this something that you have to just discover? It just has to come to you. You have to just be ready for
No,
it.
I think it happens both ways. That's the human factor. It doesn't come one way. It comes to people differently. I think that it could come both ways, or more than that. I think that you can be, let's say, for example, my father's a lawyer. He's been working in law even before I was born. And my grandfather was a cop. So it makes sense that his son became a lawyer. And my father told my oldest brother, you're going to be a lawyer. My older brother became a lawyer. And he's happy his whole life doing exactly what my father told him to do. And he's expressed that his joy in working with my father and, you know, sharing that career with him, even though they were in different states and not the same law firm or anything like that. The fact that he did what his father told him to do. He didn't look sideways. He never had another goal. And he was happy. Okay? I think it can happen that way. Someone can be born in the house of a baker and become a baker and enjoy being a baker. The next child may be born and decide he's not going to be a baker. He may be a seaman or a fisherman. He may be born with that and understand it, or he may develop it as he's living his life. I don't think that there's one way he will find out. However, I think that we, the people in the West, have more freedom in this than any other people around. And that we're living in a time that allows us that freedom, but we're not taking advantage of it. Okay? There was a time where the baker had to be a baker. The baker's son had to be a baker. And there are still some societies where that is. Okay? But we don't have that issue. So we can follow our dreams, whether they're through the guidance of our parents or something we come up with ourselves. The point is to be brave enough, adventurous enough, honest enough to go ahead and go. What the society, Shaitan, has done, though, he's taken that and flipped that on a moral level and said, instead of follow your dreams for learning careers and skills, follow your lusts. Follow your immoral inclinations that he incites in people. So come out and say you're gay, for example, as opposed to saying, you know what, I want to be a fisherman. Or I want to be an adventurer. I want to be an author. Or I want to write children's books. Or I want to do something else. He's flipped it in a way that makes it immoral, as opposed to skillfully colorful. Okay? For society. That's what I believe. I don't have any more to say about it, unless you have some more questions.
No, Sheikh. I'm just writing that down. MashaAllah. Jazakallah khair.
Does anybody else have anything to say about that or ask about?
I'm doing that. I'm just glad that you said that it's both angles, that someone can find happiness, you know, doing what, you know, their parents have told them to do, and they can also find happiness, you know, forging a new path for themselves. Alhamdulillah. Because that's how I feel like my situation is. Because I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. And I've become really happy, alhamdulillah, and following the direction that my mother has given me.
And you know what? I want to say there's a third way, Mr. Badaka. I'm glad that resounds with you well. Like I said, my older brother was like that. The other thing is, it could change as you get older. Okay? And even, I say, not just my older brother. My father put all of me and all my brothers in the military. He told us all, you're going to the military. And we all went to the military. And we all were happy with those decisions. His decision to do that book. But to send us in that way. And my parents told me, you're going to be either a lawyer or a doctor. And I studied both. And I'm still studying my major. If they wouldn't have said both, I wouldn't have inclination towards both. But I still love both of those. So, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, there's nothing wrong with following your parents' guidance. Maybe it's the best thing to do when you're younger. They know you, they see you better than you see you, and they can give you direction. But I do think that it may change as you get older. And I think that it's the elder people who have a harder time with accepting change than the younger people do. Sometimes people get stuck in their ways and they feel afraid of change. And even though they know change may be better, they're afraid of the unknown end. They're afraid of any change of what the way things are now. And I think that is one of the pitfalls of getting older, when you stop trying to do new things, or not new things necessarily, whatever your intellect and your heart combine together to do something, I believe you should do it. You should go for it. Or you will regret it. I think that depression, this is the thing that I think, Mr. Tyler Boyd, I think depression and self-hate begins when you stop listening to your heart and your mind. That people are more angry with themselves for what they didn't do when they had the opportunity and didn't say, didn't take advantage of. That they blame themselves quietly for years. And they get stuck in that rut. And this is what I've experienced from listening to people. They're upset at their day-to-day life because they're not doing what they want to do. What they have an urge and a drive inside themselves to do. But for some reason, procrastination and the day-to-day rut. And they blame it on circumstance. And it's not circumstance. We see too many examples of people breaking their circumstances. I watch too many videos on YouTube of these obese people who get sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And then in a year or two, they totally transform their lives externally. And they couldn't have done that without an internal fire. You see, some of these people are like 300 something pounds. That's abnormally obese. And then coming down to normal sizes and, you know, breaking a half that size in a year or two. And you see this transformation. That takes some guts. That takes some heart, determination, and consistency. And if those people can do that, look at the thing of the Dr. Carson, a kid who could hardly read well. He ran for president, as crazy as he is. But, you know, the point is, eventually he even got so far where he ran for president. And he became this amazing doctor. How? Because he decided to do it. And he didn't quit. And he believed in himself. And he didn't let other people tell him that he couldn't do it. And examples like these are many. So I'm saying the ones who should be the most in taking advantage of this are the believers. Why? Because we're told to believe. We're told to be optimistic. This is part and parcel of our character as Muslims. To believe in the opportunity, to believe in our ability, to believe that Allah will give you the opportunity, to believe that Allah will give you the skill, to believe, and not to let the poverty mentality of shaitan, yukhawwifu awliya, yukhawwifu bil faqra, that he scares people with scarcity. You don't have enough skill. There are not enough positions for you. You're not going to make it. You're not tall enough, ugly enough, handsome enough, you know, the right gender, the right state, the right amount of money. You don't have enough. This is the fear of shaitan. They wouldn't pick you. You wouldn't make it. And then the people get upset with themselves because they didn't try. They would have accepted the failure. Maybe even the failure was part of the life that they would have enjoyed, that they went for it. But because they don't even try, I think it causes them to go into a state of subtle depression. The incision of depression and internal hurt, injury from yourself to yourself. And so the cure is to tawakkal ala al-hayyul qayyum, to put your trust in the ever-living, the self-sustaining. Put your trust in Allah and use what I call your superpower. What's your super?
Sheikh? We lost the Sheikh. I'm sure he'll be back.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah. Wa alaikum assalam.
I got kicked out again. I don't know where I got kicked out.
You asked us what our superpowers, so that was the last thing.
Okay, so then you heard everything that I said. What's your superpower, guys? What is it, Mr. Backer?
Dua. That's our superpower.
Dua. That's our superpower. Okay? What's our number one defense?
Taqwa.
Istighfar.
Nope. Nope. But close.
Al-isti'adha billah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tyler Boyd. Our number one line of offense is A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Then istighfar. Yes, taqwa is a parameter. It's a shield. Okay? But taqwa is more in keeping with the laws of Islam. Within the boundaries of driving down the highway, you stay on the road. That's what taqwa is.
No.
Okay, but where you drive is up to you. That's the point, you see? Where you're driving is what I'm talking about. Okay?
Mm-hmm. No.
So, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, if we just keep those things, the istighfar, we make the dua, we make the, now, the ta'awud is what I meant. What we use the istighfar for as the incision to get our way.
We lost the shit.
No.
This thing keeps going out. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. The last thing we heard is you saying we use istighfar as the incision to get our way.
That's right. The istighfar, because Allah says, wastaghfir rabbakum. Wastaghfir rabbakum. You know, innahu kana ghaffara. Yursilu alaykum as-sama'a midrara. Allah says, if you make istighfar, He will give you everything. Right? He will make it rain at nighttime. So your air is clean in the morning. Your crops are growing. You have a beautiful day. Okay? He will increase you with awlad, with manpower. You know? He will increase you with all the things you want. The mata al-hayat al-dunya. Okay? He said wealth and baneen. You know? And give you everything. You know? Ma lakum la ta, you know, turn to Allah. He said, what's wrong with you that you don't turn to Allah? What don't you get? This is what it says. Ma lakum. What's up with you guys? That you don't take advantage of this. And the proof of this is Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to his companions, he said, Allah is ready to give you and answer your dua, whatever you ask him, right? And or kama qal. And they said, if that's the case, ya Rasulullah, then we're gonna make a lot of dua. And the Messenger of Allah said, yeah, Allah is more ready to answer your du'as than you all are ready to make du'a. Do you get the point?
Yes, sir.
Even though Allah tells us this, even though His Messenger tells us, we still lack in asking Allah. And He's telling us, basically, you ain't going to do nothing. You ain't going to ask for nothing. You look how little you're going to ask. What did Dawood say? Dawood, alayhi salatu alayhi salam, said, how long are they going to live? 70, 80 years in the future? They might as well dig a grave outside their house, right outside their front door. They might as well just dig the grave right outside their front door and just pray and get ready to die. It's a little bitty time. We're not taking advantage of it, is my point. And so we're not really living, is what I'm saying, Tyler Boyd. We're not living, and we're not, and Shaitan has got us tricked and scared to live. People are scared of the unknown end. So they hesitate. And hesitation kills.
Yep.
Okay? We are told as men every day to get up and go out the house. Get out. Get out there. 5 times a day. We weren't meant to be home. Just by the nature of the Sharia, the men were told to get out and go, because the rizq is out there. You got to go for it to get it. Even though Allah said ask and he's going to give you, he makes you take by the means of getting it. That's the beauty and the joy of life. Even if you're a woman. Maryam, alayhi salatu wasalam, was tasked with giving birth to Isa. And she had to go give birth to him. And she couldn't do it from her dormitory. She had to get out there. She was hungry. She asked for food. What did she do? Allah made her shake the tree. A little girl. Meaning a woman, I'm saying. Not a little girl like they try to make it out. A teenage woman shaking a whole tree. And I've tried to shake these palm trees with dates on them. You ain't shaking no tree. But he still made her go make the effort. And Allah makes the results. Musa asked Allah. He didn't know what to ask Allah for. Okay? He just knew that Allah would guide him. When Fir'aun and them were coming. Said, Kalla inna inni ma'a rabbi. Say, Yahdini. I'm with my Lord. I'm doing what my Lord told me to do. He will guide me. And Allah told him, take the stick and strike the water. The striking the water didn't make the water split. Yet it split. Allah makes the results. We're told to offer salah. And we act like that's not the solution. We beef about the solution. Whereas we see that the Anbiya, they didn't beef about the solution. They did what they was told to do. And they kept moving. And the results came from Allah. The tawfiq, this is what we call it, tawfiq. And tawfiq is, in my opinion, is you also enjoying your life. And we know the story about the man who, Ahmed ibn Hanbal, went to a town. He got there at nighttime while he was traveling. It was just a town on the road on the way to where he was actually going. So he's just passing through. He gets there at nighttime and he's like, man, there's no place. I don't know anyone here. There ain't no hotels. And a baker guy who's up at nighttime sees him. Says, hey, man, you need someplace to stay? Come stay here with me. I'm up at night. You can sleep in this room back here. And he lets Ahmed ibn Hanbal come in the room. And Ahmed is in there. He's noticing the man is real peaceful. And everything, man, you got a real nice demeanor. He said, yeah, Allah has given me everything I've asked for, except one thing. And he says, what's that? He said, I always asked Allah that if I could ever meet Ahmed ibn Hanbal. He said, man, that's the only thing I never gotten the opportunity to do that I wanted to do, that I asked Allah for. And Ahmed ibn Hanbal broke down. He broke down because he was looking for a place to stay. And Allah sent him to the man who had asked to see him. And this is what I'm talking about living. You don't know how it's going to come. Or where it's going to come from. All you got to do is go for it. Do what you feel comfortable doing. Follow that inclination. And Allah will bring you joy. And you just don't know where it'll come from. And don't worry about what it sounds like or looks like to other people. When I was locked in prison, and they had me in isolation, I was very comfortable. I don't know why. You know, when people are, oh, you shouldn't say that you were comfortable. No, I was comfortable. I got to say my story. And I felt that this, okay, Allah wants me here. I'm okay with that. Maybe it's because I didn't do anything, so I didn't have the guilt of being guilty. So that made me comfortable, even more comfortable being there. And like I said, I don't care what people say. That, oh, they told me before when I was on TV, don't say that. But so I didn't say it, but I'm telling you, you have to live through your spirit and your experiences. Allah puts joy in it, and I learned a lot from it. Of course, I wouldn't want to do it again, but I learned a lot and experienced life in my, you know, joyful life. Doing what I'm telling you to do right now. And anytime, any regret that I have is not because of what someone else did to me. The only regrets that I have in life are when I feel that I didn't do what I thought I should have done when I thought I should have done it. And this is why I'm saying to you all, part of learning fiqh is learning how to listen to yourself. And to live the life that you have the opportunity and the inclination and drive to live, even if you fail, to accomplish the thing that you intended to accomplish. I hope that makes sense.
Yes, sir, mashallah. It's a very, very beneficial and heart-touching discussion. It's especially poignant for me because I'm experiencing something of a personal renaissance at this time, and I'm struggling with these questions myself, just to share. So, inshallah, it'll be a benefit.
Now, renaissance is an interesting term that you use. Renaissance means rebirth. Mm-hmm. We're reborn every morning, though. Every day we wake up is the first day for the rest of our lives. That's what we should realize. The opportunities are always there. It's never the last straw, but it's always the first brick of building a new building. But Shaitan wants you to think it's the last straw. That's the poverty mentality in my articulation. It's never the last straw. It's the first brick. Now, we can use that straw to make bricks, if you know what I mean. If you know how to bake a brick, you use straw inside that mud and clay and piece it together. So if you got a last piece of straw, put it in there and make a new brick and build a new relationship, build a new understanding, build a new approach to life that you feel more better doing. Okay? And if you don't like your schedule, change it. It's your schedule. One of the things I learned about making my schedule was that over the years, sometimes I make my schedule too tight. So it wasn't sustainable. Sometimes you have to put in there an hour to sit down with my friends and just kick it. So you schedule that in. Instead of running from A to B to C to D and you're not really enjoying it, because now that's just rushing around. Life is to be enjoyed. Don't forget that portion of it. And if you like doing something, why aren't you doing it then? I'm always amazed at people who say that I like going swimming. When's the last time you swam? 2 years ago. Then you don't like swimming then. You used to like swimming. What have you done over the last 6 months on a regular. That's what you like to do it. Oh, no, I'm just in the habit of doing it. Okay. Now we need to make decisions now. Real decisions. Real questions have to be answered. Why am I doing this? Is it busy work? Meaning, is it procrastination? Is it avoidance work? That's what I'm talking about. Or avoidance play. I'm watching this program. Am I watching the program because I enjoy the program? Or because I'm watching the program because I'm avoiding doing other things that I am scared to do? Or because Shaitan is scaring me from doing, but I really want to do those other things. So now the ruling on watching that program changes. Is it stopping me from growing and living my life and enjoying my life? Is this what I want my life to be? When we look at it in the afterlife, he used to get up every day and watch TV all day. He was a good slave of Allah. That's what he did. What else did he do? No, he went to the masjid. He prayed. And then he came back home and he watched TV all day. He had a job. So he worked. He prayed. And he watched TV. Did he do anything significant besides that? No, that was his life. Well, what did he watch? It must have been important, right? It must have been enjoyable. It was, whatever it was. And what did it help him do? Because if we say we're watching the Turkish dramas, for example, the historic dramas, what are they helping us doing? Are they helping us to be adventurous? Are they helping us to be more Islamic? Or are we just watching it and nothing is coming, no action is coming from it? No benefit, no produce is being produced from that. I mean, I think that some produce could be in akhlaq, concept, teaching our children. But what are you doing with your life? And if you put it on paper, this is what they teach you in the CIA. Think on paper. Put it on paper and then look at it. Are you happy with that story? If it were to end next week and you were to write it as a book, would you be happy with that story? If not, change it. That's the beauty of life. You can write your own story. And this is what Stephen Covey was talking about when he said, begin with the end in mind. Imagine it's Yom Kiyama. No, not even Yom Kiyama. Imagine you're at your grave and you're in it. And you can hear everyone. And so the angel, your body has just completely come back from Jannah. And your soul has just met back up with your body as it does. I hope you all understand that. When you die, your soul leaves. The angels take it out. And they wrap it in heaven-sent cloths, inshallah. And it takes us up on a journey up to Jannah. And Allah says, send them back down. From that earth I created him. From him, I told him he would die, and from it, I would resurrect him, take him back down. And by the time we get back down to the body is being entered into the grave. That's where we catch up with the body again. And humans notice that's why they call it the body, the remains, because the soul is no longer there. We suddenly understand that. Where's his body? He ain't there. How do we know that? The language shows us there, right? The language shows that we understood it. He is not there. The body is there. Where's his remains? But when we carry that person, no matter how much time it took or how short, and he gets to the grave, the moment he touches that dirt, the moment the remains touch the dirt, the soul enters back into that body. And he is conscious of everything that's going on for 40 steps around him in every direction. He can hear everybody. And that's why it's foolish of us to be sitting there joking and saying foolish stuff at somebody's grave. At somebody's janazah. Now the angel has closed the book, brothers. It's closed. Right before it closed, imagine you got to read it. What do you want to see in that book? How do you want to have died? At least you can answer that, right? What do you want to be doing the day you die? That's what you should start doing. And if you're happy to die on it, then you can do it. If you wouldn't want to die doing it, don't do it. Because we don't know when we're going to die. And the believer understands that he can lose his life in a New York minute. In a second. And again, the internet helps us. We've seen so many videos of people just sitting there or talking or standing, turn around, giving a speech. They look right, left, and fall down dead. We've seen people playing soccer just stop and die right there in the middle of the soccer game. I think in almost every situation we can see, we've seen on video people dying in the last 10 years with the new internet and cameras all over the place. So we should not be amazed on how quickly, or I shouldn't say not amazed, we should not be not understand how quickly life can leave the body. If you've seen the pictures of the people in Philistine, the little babies, 1-year-olds, 2-year-olds, 3, they have lists and lists and lists. If you think about how many people got killed in Palestine, and then understand more than that have been killed in Sudan in the same amount of time, you can imagine that we could also be in amongst those people. And how many people are getting killed in Ukraine? And the Uyghur people, and the Rohingya people, and the people that got killed in Burkina Faso and Mali and Niger, and those that are getting kidnapped in Libya, and those that are getting killed in South America. And in the United States, we watch all the videos of the people getting killed for stopping their cars or doing some type of thing, or driving while black, or all those other things that happens in the United States, the violence. And we could all be one of those people one day or today. So we need to take advantage of this opportunity that's called life. The first lesson we learned in Mauritania, the very first lesson. They sit you down after they introduce yourself. You introduce yourself and they introduce themselves. After about 10 minutes, they say, okay, we'll get to know each other as we go along. And they cut it short. I always like that. They don't spend the whole, you ain't spend the whole day. You got 15 minutes at the most to get to know the brothers. And then, okay, we'll get along as we get along. We'll get to know each other as we keep going. Here, what are you giving me? This piece of paper, you have to memorize it by tonight. Okay, well, what does it say? I'lamu, no. أَنَّ رَأْسَ الْمَالِ الْعَبْدِ أَوْقَاتُهُ, that the رَأْسُ الْمَالِ, the chief wealth, right? The chief wealth of the slave is his أَوْقَاتُهُ, his time. Time. That's the most precious thing you have. That's your biggest investment. It's time. فَإِنْ صَرَفَهَا,
فِيمَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ But if he wastes it, صَرَفَهَا فِيمَا With regards to that which لَا يَعْنِيهِ Has nothing to do with him. Doesn't matter. It's none of his business. لَا يَعْنِيهِ Doesn't benefit him. It's none of his business. فَقَدَ صَرَّفَ رَأْسَ فَقَدَ ضَيَّعَ رَأْسَ مَالِهِ Then he has wasted his chief investment. وَلَمْ يُدَخِّرْ بِهِ ثَوَابًا فِي الْآخِرَةِ And he has not used his time to store up for him a reward, a good reward in the hereafter. فَقَدَ ضَيَّعَ رَأْسَ مَالِهِ Then he has wasted his chief investment. وَلِذَٰلِكَ قَالَ And for that reason, Allah says, لَا خَيْرَ There is no خَيْر. Notice he says لَا and then خَيْرَ with a fatha. If you pay attention, you notice we say لَا إِلَٰهَ with a fatha as opposed to لَا إِلَٰهُن. We say لَا حَوْلَ with a fatha as opposed to لَا حَوْلٌ وَلَا قُوَّةَ Illa billah, la rayba, with a fatha. The la followed by a fatha means no shape, form, or fashion. Negation of all types. So it says, la khayra, no khayr whatsoever. No type of khayr. Allah says, la khayra fi kathirin min najwahum. There's no khayr whatsoever in most of their private conversations. Fi najwahum. A najwa is a private conversation you have with somebody else. That shows us where we waste most of our time. La khayra fi kathirin min najwahum illa man amara bis sadaqatin aw ma'rufin aw islahin bayn an-nas. The only khair that comes in any conversation is when you're commanding amara bis sadaqa, commanding the other person to give sadaqa. Sadaqa in his speech, sadaqa from his wealth, sadaqa from himself. Sadaqa is a smile, right? Sadaqa is salams. Sadaqa that you give from yourself to yourself is preventing harm on other people that you could due to them. So whoever's talking and they're not ordering and commanding the next person, encouraging the next person to give sadaqah from himself, aw ma'rufin, or commanding them to do what is ma'ruf, easily recognizable as good, ma'ruf. And this word ma'ruf is a term. Allah uses it in the Quran and other places. He says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ You are the best ummah ever created out of the people. تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ You're commanding people to do what is ma'ruf, meaning the sharia, what is easily recognizable as good. وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ And forbidding people and commanding them not to do those things that are munkar, unknown in the sharia, unspeakables. Haram in the Sharia, not ordered. So ma'ruf here, amara bis sadaqatin aw ma'ruf, is to command the people to adhere to the Sharia and the concepts of the Sharia, which is those things that are easily recognizable as good. Okay?
No, may Allah
give islahim bayna nas. Islahim bayna nas is rectifying the situations between the people. Islah. As-salih. Correcting and fixing and rectifying the people's situations by giving them a dinu nasiha, being sincere with them. And it doesn't end there. He says, وَلِذَلِكَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ And the Messenger of Allah has said as well. من حسن الإسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه That from the beauty, the ihsan of a person's deen is that they leave off what doesn't concern them. So the opposite is understood, that a person focuses all his time only on minding his business. Now, I'm saying minding business doesn't mean like don't pay attention to what's going on except for to you, but in the concept of actually minding and focusing and on your business, like we started the conversation talking about focus, right?
Yes, sir.
Mind your business. Find a way to clean your house. Find a way to iron your clothes and sharpen your skill and become a better you. Mind that business. Meaning take care of it. Min husn al-islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi. And from the ihsan, you want to know what ihsan is leaving off those things that don't concern you. And then the hadith, another hadith says, Tuba is a tree in Jannah. Tuba liman anfaqa fadla malihi wa amsaka fadla kalamihi. Tuba, a place in Jannah, a tree, under the shade of a tree in Jannah. For the one who spends his excess wealth and holds on to his excess speech. So again, we see how we should speak less and think more. We should give of our excess and not hold on to it, because we can't take it with us. So much so the Sahaba felt, they said, the Messenger of Allah told us to give away so much stuff that we felt if we had two of anything, we were being excessive. So much so the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, anybody who has a house and they have a room that they don't go into, then that room is for shaitan. He lived there. Meaning that all the rooms in our house should be used. You got an extra room? Get you an orphan child. You don't want an orphan child? Find you a relative that needs a place to stay. Find a friend, somebody that needs to stay there. Do something with that room. Don't leave it for shaitan. Whatever we have, we should be benefiting from. And one of the things that we have right now is our time, our life. And the Messenger of Allah also told us, اغتنم خمسة قبل خمس. Take advantage of five before five. Ultimately, it's your life before your death. Your youth before you get older. Your health before you become sick. Your wealth before you lose money. Your time before you get busy, and your life before your death. And the Messenger of Allah also said, "Ni'matani maqbunun fihima kathiran min al-nas." There are two ni'mas, blessings, that most people do not get the benefit of them. They get tricked. It doesn't say they don't get the benefit. Maqbunun, they get tricked out of the benefit of it, meaning they sell it for cheap, or they don't realize how precious it is. They don't appreciate it. As-sihhatu wal-faragh, health and free time. Health and free time. So my idea is based on all what I said today. Allah has blessed us with everything. The only thing we don't have is an excuse. We should stop being afraid to live and go for it. Live. Okay? Live. However you want to live. As long as it's within the perimeters of Islam. No one can tell you you can't live. You're a free person. And you have the opportunity and the freedom, the authority from Allah to live as you like. are the perimeters of Islam, and they're there to keep you safe, morally safe, and physically safe as well. I hope what I said makes sense.
I'm sure. Alhamdulillah.
And I hope that it helps you as well, Tyler boy.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair. So
we're going to come back. I want to say one more thing. I'm sorry for taking this time. I said at the beginning of this is an appropriate time to have this conversation. Why? Because we're at the beginning of the month, the beginning of the year. This is Muharram. Allah tells us, he tests us every year, once or twice. So as we start this new year, look for new tests. Look for new challenges that Allah is going to challenge us with. And be in constant dua and ask Allah for his help. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I hold that we should make intentions to accomplish things. And if we don't mention it to ourselves, it's easy to get distracted if you don't have a clear objective. Sit down someplace and think about what you want to accomplish this year. And then start doing that. Because before you know it, it'll be Ramadan again. And then we'll be almost through the whole year. Once Ramadan comes, it seems like the year speeds up. It's Ramadan, then you have a couple of days, and then it's the Eid al-Adha. So may Allah make us enjoy it and take advantage of it now. Tafaddal, ya Tyler boy, take us out.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, and thank you all for joining us today on a special episode of Outlining Fiqh. We took a break from our normal studies today to discuss the New Year's, but let's not rush things. If hadith, usul, and histories are still partially clouded in mysteries, then refrain from speech. But what can you teach? To have little knowledge and teach is to cheat. Go back to the graph and the knowledge within. There are 38 chapters to finish. Let's begin. وفضائل